Next on BYUSN, after getting our first look at the football schedule, what's our way too early win expectation for the Cougars this season? One projection has men's hoops in the play-in game in the NCAA tournament. Would we take that right now or play it out?
The countdown to AJ continues. DeBonsa back on Sports Nation talking about how throwing lobs to Xavier State, he's working on that, and his excitement to play in rivalry games at BYU. Plus, we'll preview the Cougars baseball season. Head coach Trent Pratt, pitcher Stone Cushing will be here, and they've got new plans, some renovations that fans are going to love. We'll talk about that this morning.
Oh, I love Miller Park. Welcome to the BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Thursday, February 6th. I'm Jerem Jordan. He is Jersey commentator Dave McCann.
Yep, we're commentating on jerseys today. Remember at the ball game the other night, Richie Saunders cut his finger somehow. I don't know if he was hanging on the rim or something during warm-up. So he gets blood on his jersey, and you can't have blood on your jerseys in football, so you got to go get a different one. So then he comes out with a jersey that's got an NCAA tournament patch. Mm-hmm. We're like, well, that's different from all the others. And then he went out and shot 3 of 8 in the loss to Arizona. So we went back to Duquesne, the NCAA tournament game, and he shot 1 for 5. I don't know if it's the jersey, but going into Cincinnati on Saturday, it's got to be all about Richie. He's got to have a big game because the Cougars go where he goes.
Yeah.
He's got to lead them on the road.
But
yeah, that's why they were a little different jersey for him.
Yeah, Omir from Baylor changed his jersey. I think it ripped or something.
Yeah. Like the Baylor part was hanging off.
I'm interested that the backup jersey was the NCAA tournament jersey for BYU, which is interesting. Got that special patch. So
yeah.
Shout out at BYU Uniform Tracker, who's a really fun follow. For every BYU win, they tweet out a new custom, different BYU jersey. It's kind of fun. It's actually one of our students upstairs.
Is that right?
Here at BYU TV.
How about that?
He's awesome. Yeah. Okay, all rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending. Another year where BYU could go 8-plus wins.
There's a pathway to 6-0 to start the season.
BYU's got to be road warriors.
And we did some really hard work last year to get to this point, but we got to build something and create momentum.
What's Trending is presented by Tim Daly Ford, part of the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968. We've got the schedule now for next season and the dates. We don't have TV quite yet or kickoff times, but take a nap regardless. So, Dave, and I always wonder whether it's way too early or the perfect time. I don't know. It's February 6th. Who knows? Feels early.
Feels good.
Let's go. It always feels good to talk about football. What's your way too early win expectation and record for BYU football now that we have the schedule?
The beauty of having the schedule out is then you just stare at it, right? And then a few days after staring at it, you're like, well, I see this path to get into the Big 12 championship, or this could be a real tough swing. So, and we have about 8 months to just sit there
plenty
and stare at it. But based on experience that they have coming back and projected health, right? If you lose your quarterback or your running backs are wiped out again and that stuff, that changes things. But today they're healthy and you got a lot of guys coming back. So as you look at this schedule, I'm going with games that they will win. And then there's a toss-up area and then and a loss area. And the more we talked about it this morning, I mean, it's like, well, I had that in a toss-up, but I guess I could have put it here, could have put it there. Here's the fun. So take this in for what it's worth, but I think they've got to go. They got to run the table at home. You know, you're good enough.
Run the table at home.
Stadium's a tough enough place to play. And so if you run the table at home, you got a base of 6 right there. And you win at East Carolina, gives you 7. And then I've got them beating Arizona and Cincinnati. So there's the base of 9.
Look at you. At least 9-3.
Yeah.
If you lose both toss-ups.
But judge again on the team that's coming back.
Yeah.
And the experience they have. You experienced quarterback. Okay. Well, that on the road should neutralize what at Cincinnati. Should you go beat Cincinnati with a returning quarterback? And remember, they've got the number one defense in the Big 12. And Jay Hill said yesterday they're going to be better. Kalani Sitake said on this show, the D-line, he thinks is going to be better. So
really?
You're bringing that back in. You know,
I missed that part.
With wow. Tanevasa and those guys, he's excited about that. So factoring that in, and then, you know, you got toss-ups. I got Colorado and Texas Tech as toss-ups. Colorado's, their two studs are gone, but that's going to be September 27th. It's probably going to be, it's got the feel of a Fox primetime game on it. Boulder's going to be on fire. You just don't know. They're coming off a whooping from the Alamo Bowl, and BYU's coming off thumping them. But BYU's also coming off the East Carolina road trip. So I think that that game's got me in the toss-up. And I don't know about Texas Tech. That just feels like a mystery game coming off a bye in November. I've got Iowa State. I got Iowa State there because that's the game after the emotional BYU-Utah game. And you know, you can say it till you're blue in the face. It's different preparing for another team coming out of that game.
And it's a tough – Kansas and was the loss after State Utah this year. Yeah. BYU was an undefeated, amazing team, 9-0. They lose to Kansas at home. The emotion, the excitement, the drama, it's hard to come down from that. And the coaching staff and players have admitted it was hard to move on. That was just so exciting and awesome.
So I got
I get Iowa State as a loss there. I have that too.
So let's roll yours out. But I've got nine. I kind of go back to last
Utah's year. Utah's in there as a win. I like that.
Yeah, of course. When you're at eight and then you they go, well, if you can win eight in that schedule, why can't you win nine? It's kind of our theme from last year.
We'll if you keep going up by that logic, why can't you win, win ten?
We got 11 and two all of a sudden. And then we wonder, why didn't they win those two?
We're still wondering that.
But that's how I see it as I stare at it.
Yeah.
And again, based on health and experience, you can go through those games and go, why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they win that game? Now, you might have to get a fumble or a punt returner. Things happened last year that will need to happen again.
Absolutely.
But that's what we're projecting what we think with what we have.
I think a lot of seasons hinge on when you have one-score games, undoubtedly, how do you do in them? BYU won their first four. That's how they got to 9-0. They were winning the close ones. Then they lost their last two. So that's how they lose.
And those two were close.
Right?
Yeah.
BYU didn't have a game where they just got worked, right?
All right, let's see what you got.
Mine's very similar. I go 8-2-2. So eight wins. I have Portland State, Stanford, ECU, Colorado, West Virginia, Arizona, Cincinnati, UCF as the wins. I have two games where I'm concerned about losing, at Iowa State, at Texas Tech, after Utah. I think that's a tough swing. You do have a bye week between Iowa State and Texas Tech. Two toss-ups I have are Utah and TCU. TCU, I say, because it's coming off of those tough three.
Yeah.
Utah, at Iowa State, at Texas Tech. I would think that BYU would come home and get right on November 15th. I'm just putting it in the toss-up category because I don't know if TCU is slinging it by that point and good or not. Are they not good? I don't know. In the Big 12, feels like every game's tough. There's not a game where BYU – you know, BYU had a couple blowouts last year, but the defense was awesome and special teams were incredible. Is BYU the same kind of team? Are they as well-rounded, right? So we look at the whole schedule, Portland State, Stanford, bye week, East Carolina. Got to start 3-0. Then you walk into Boulder, like we mentioned. Who's the quarterback for Colorado? No Travis Hunter, no Shiloh Sanders. Still a good team, and they're getting some good transfers. But I would think that the team's not as good as they were last year. I would think that BYU can go in there and win.
Right.
West Virginia at home. There's payback involved from a loss a couple years ago. At Arizona, that's a place where BYU's had success. Utah is a massive game in a weird spot, like we mentioned. Talking to Kalani was interesting. Clearly, he wanted it at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Didn't say as much, but you can tell. At Iowa State, tough. Bye week at Texas Tech. That three-game stretch, undoubtedly the toughest three-game stretch. Then in November, let's go after that with TCU. At Cincinnati is an interesting game. Is that going to be a super cold one with the Bearcats? Get your skyline chilly in the system. UCF, a weird kind of senior night at home.
That's going to be a cold one.
Right? Like Houston was. And then I like that we put the Big 12 championship in there. Yeah. I like what our graphics team is projecting and manifesting to the world. Blaine Fowler was on the show this week, and he feels like potentially BYU could jump out and have a really nice start to the season.
There's a pathway to 6-0 to start the season. And then Utah's at home. So why not 7-0 as you go on the road to Iowa State? And I think Iowa State, Texas Tech, TCU is a really rough run right there. I'm not saying they're going to be 6-0, but I'm saying that is not a crazy thought.
Blaine said some things over the years that a lot of people thought were crazy, and they weren't.
Right.
Michael Davis being an NFL guy.
I've heard
guy,
a lot of his crazy
right?
stuff.
Right? Yeah,
and it
that.
Was crazy.
Right?
But this is, yeah.
He said some things that were like, whoa, what? And so when he says something like that, you have to listen.
Yeah.
And you look at that schedule and you see who BYU returns and and the experience that they had and how they played last year and what they've learned and
you go, why
who
not?
They've added. Why not?
Right.
Why not? Why not 6-0? Why not 7-0?
I think East Carolina is an interesting game. BYU should beat them whenever they play them, right? But they're playing them back
there. Payback for 22.
Yeah.
And 17.
We're still bent out of shape about 17.
Yeah.
But you're playing them back there. but the more importantly, you're playing Colorado and Boulder the following week. I think you've got to have your base of 3-0, like last year. And last year we worried about SMU, and that turned out to be one of the best wins of the season, to go into Dallas and beat SMU 18-15. You're 3-0, now you're springboarding, and then you get that big win against Kansas State. Boom, you're in the top 20. And you stay there, right? And you finish as high as you do. That one is a trap, the trap of all trap games.
Colorado, you're saying?
East Carolina. Because Colorado's next.
Yes, gotcha.
And so if you're 3-0 in your non-conference base and you build on that, you hold serve at home, and you get to 5-7-8, and then you pick off a couple. All of a sudden, that's how you get to 9-2 and those potentials. So it starts with the first three. And one of them's a long ways away from here. Again, and the week before the reuniting with Dion and the excitement of that game. So that's a tricky one. But they showed last year that they were more than capable of taking care of business in games that they should win on the road. And they went to Wyoming, took care of business. Went to SMU, took care of business. That UCF win back in Orlando.
At the time, UCF was hot.
Yeah, that was big.
UCF had just crushed Colorado at home. Mm-hmm. A couple thoughts. The trap game. That's interesting because you're coming off a bye for ECU, and you got some payback from 22. Yeah, there's some motivating factors there. West Virginia, motivating factors for payback. After Utah, can BYU handle emotionally at Iowa State, at Texas Tech? Like we mentioned, we'll see, man. Last year, BYU was motivated by 4.5 win projection and continually an underdog.
And your quarterback's ranked the worst in the Big 12.
Right? It got the screenshot. Things. Now when you're ranked 16th and you're the favorite, how are you going to handle that? BYU, it feels like, according to Kalani Sitake, he likes where this team is mentally, physically, and there are reports of the transfers coming in and kind of being leaders,
right,
not just trying to fit in. They're fitting in and helping gel in a way of leadership. So I like where this team's at. Maybe the motivation is, well, now how do we climb that ladder? One more rung and get to the Big 12 title game.
The Utes are going to bring in all the payback stuff right into that
Absolutely.
October 18th game.
Keanu's on the other side.
How do we handle that?
Hunter Clay, great, whatever you need. But
that's where your veteran quarterback goes, all right, calm down, guys. We're just going to drive down there and score points.
And in Provo, you like BYU's chances. But again, that is a fun but tough game. Our question of the day, after seeing the schedule, how many wins are you expecting this season? Eric Evanson, 22-1X. 9-3 seems like a return to reality. Realistically, BYU could have been 8-4 this past year, but they won two miracles. The Big 12 is competitive week in and week out. Utah, Iowa State, Texas Tech, TCU. Tough stretch. Yeah, that's that four-game stretch from October 18th into the second week of November. At M4GBit on X. Still thinking a floor of 8-4. I like that. With all of these returning players, that Utah greater than or Utah to Iowa State back-to-back is going to be brutal. I fully expect to lose in Ames. If you had to lose one, let it be Iowa State, not Utah, right?
Because it won't kill you in the polls. It won't kill your season.
Yeah,
you might get a chance to get him back in the Big 12 championship game.
Sure. Iowa State will be interesting. I'm interested to see how they fare. They're always good. It's just how good. This last year was the best year they've ever had. They had never won 10 games in a season. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
They're the king of 8-9 wins, but they got over the hump, got to the Big 12 title game, got blown out by Arizona.
It's interesting how Oklahoma State, with all those returners, a little bit went this way, and they were in the tank. Utah, a little bit went that, they went in the tank. Arizona State, BYU, it went this way, and they shot to the top. It's not automatic. Small margin for success.
The 13th and 16th predicted teams in the preseason poll were incredible in BYU and Arizona State.
It's going to be so much fun. We got 8 months just to think about it. It's awesome. Here's one for you. Andy Katz has BYU projected as an 11 seed in the play-in game in the Big Dance. Would you take that right now? Or play out the season?
I would take it right now because I don't know what the rest of the 9 games look like. I hope that BYU goes 5-4 and gets to 10 or 11 wins in the Big 12. We feel confident going into Kansas City that BYU is going to win a game and get into the NCAA tournament. Here's what the numbers look like today. 35 in net is good enough to make the NCAA tournament. 2 quad one wins is not at this point. You probably need 4. So BYU has time to get that. Quad two record's fine. 10-0 and 3-4. That's great. Best win, Baylor. Worst loss, Providence. Still quad two. BYU doesn't have a quad three or four loss. I would take it right now because the point for BYU isn't necessarily, given what we've seen so far this year, what seed they get, it's can they win a game? Can they get in there and win a game? Now they supersede what last year did, even though last year was a six seed.
Look at all these
can
quads.
BYU be a six seed, by the way? They still can. They still can. Here's what's left for the Cougars. You got a quad three with Kansas State, quad two with West Virginia. Utah off the graphic they're at the bottom, excuse me. That is a quad three by one spot right now, by the way. They're 76. If they're 75, it's quad two. So there are great opportunities for BYU. We talked about Sean Farnham's take, which was interesting. The difference between great wins versus, quote-unquote, bad losses. I don't know that there'd be a bad loss except for Kansas State or Utah at home. You can avoid those, but go and get Cincinnati this Saturday. That's a team you beat by 28, Dave.
Yeah, that's an important one. They won last night, looked a little bit better, got one in UCF. But I think Saturday's an important one to go get. If you give one up at home, you got to go get one somewhere else. But I'm going to pass on the guarantee.
You want to play it out?
I'm going to say let's play it out because I think BYU, with that schedule and who they have coming in at home, can get in a better position to get a better seed so they have a better chance to win in the opening game. And that's just something that hasn't happened for a long time.
They'd have to get
to goal is to win and get an advance.
And for that to happen, they'd have to get to at least a 7 seed, right?
Yeah.
If they're an 8-9, that's essentially like a play-in game.
Yeah, but at least you're not in the play-in game. But your first round and a chance to get to the second round, I think that'd be great for this team under a first-year head coach in the Big 12. They have the talent. If you can do what you did to Baylor, you're good enough to win an NCAA tournament game. But if you play like you did against Arizona, you're not going to get there.
Luckily, so you got to find Arizona in the first round, I would think.
Yeah, you wouldn't play them.
Unless you're a 5-12 situation.
Yeah.
If BYU was a 12, you could play a team like Arizona.
It feels like, with the strength of this league, and this team's pretty good, that they can be better than the last four in.
Given the talent and the competitive NIL that BYU has, It would be below the standard to not make the NCAA tournament,
right?
Correct?
Yeah.
Got to at least make the tournament. If BYU does not win in the first round, that's probably below the hopeful standard too, right? It's not just go, it's win a game. And then if you can go on some kind of run, which we're still waiting for that run, by the way, from BYU in the NCAA tournament. We see it every year from other schools. The 11, 12, 13, 14 that wins not just a game, but like two, and they sneak into the Sweet 16.
Hey, I got to see this team.
Can BYU do it without the National Player of the Year? Can they do it without? Yes, they can. I yearn for this every March. It's February 6th, and I'm just getting anxious. Okay.
Listen.
You know what? You convinced me. I'm
You're ready to roll.
I'm going
to
play
dice?
It out. I'm not going to cash in quite yet.
Okay. Yeah, all right.
You can.
You know what? Next week, if I'll come back and say I was wrong. Let's take that. Can we go back and take that?
If BYU loses the next two, it's like, wait, we take it. The play-in. No, they're going to be just fine, I think. Women's hoops won their second straight game, speaking of winning. Last night, behind 39 points combined from freshman Delaney Gibb, Brindley Cannon, Cambry Barber. Is the freshman success right now more important for this season or the future?
Well, here's the thing. These freshmen have been fantastic. The turnovers are off the chart, and the turnovers have what kept this team from being a player in the middle of a very competitive league. And you get turnovers when you have young players. And I think Delaney Gibb, who I believe is making a case for freshman All-American, leads the team
Absolutely.
In points and turnovers.
She'll be the freshman of the year in the league.
Yeah, and maybe beyond. She's a phenomenal talent, but she hasn't done it before, right? And so high points, high turnovers. Once those turnovers come down and the points stay high, that's when you become the ring leader, right? But rarely do we see a freshman do that.
You said
sophomores,
high, yeah.
You know, and all that stuff. So she's on a trajectory of being one of the greatest players to ever play at BYU based on how she's scoring here as a freshman. But those turnovers have been killers in their losses. Last night they almost gave it up in a last-second flurry of turnovers against UCF, but they hung in there, and that picked up a nice win on the road. They're going to go play some top 20 teams now. Big challenges ahead when you're rolling with the young guns. But if you can be patient with young guns, the young guns grow older. And if you're going to add some size, then you have a team that can compete in this league moving forward. So better problem to have than struggling players all over the place. But Delaney Gibbs worth going over there and sitting down and spending 2 hours and going, wonder what she's going to do with the ball.
Cambry Barber is emerging too, yeah. Which is pretty fun.
And all the young guns there and the class coming in next year will be young and exciting too. Eventually you have to grow up, right? You got to grow up to compete in this league.
No, I watched Hook. They could stay in Neverland forever. Yeah. You can just stay at BYU and not
Fantasy
go to
land,
another
yes.
job, Dave. This is my life.
But if you want to be
Don't
in
make
the
me
show,
move on, Dave.
If you want to be in the show, you've got to leave Fantasyland and cross over.
Never. The future is overrated. Everyone talks about, later, we'll plan this, we'll do that. Now is more important. BYU needs to win now. They need to win now. And let's be honest, Delaney Gibbs is going to be courted by people trying to get her to transfer. They're going to try and pay her and get her to transfer. Delaney Gibb is awesome. The hope is BYU can have her for all 4 years, and she's incredible because what she is starting to do is incredible. I love this freshman class. I love what BYU's building. They've got to win. And they've won the last two, which has been nice to see.
Been great. BYU men's basketball, speaking of got to win, at Cincinnati on Saturday, pregame coverage.
Is that the
coverage.
NCAA jersey? Is that the – nope. That's the regular one.
Okay, just checking. Back to the regular, Richie. 5 o'clock Eastern, BYU Radio with Greg and Mark. First Cougars game at Cincinnati since 1931.
Wow. That's been a long time. Jeez. Up next, my one-on-one with A.J. DeBonsa on how to throw lobs to BYU future teammate Xavion Staten. Why he's looking forward to playing Utah. This is BYU Sports Nation.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by the Tim Daly Auto Group. Serving Utah since 1968.
But if you could think of Garnett and Durant, that's the Bansa.
You have a made-for-television star that is a box office brand name.
I mean, he's going to be the focal point of everything that they do.
Number one pick in the NBA draft in 2026.
He's just an unbelievable talent.
We're live in Studio B with your Cougar Sports day-to-day play-by-play. Jerem Jordan alongside Dave McCann. Well, A.J. DeBonsa's senior year at Utah Prep continues, and so do his appearances on BYU Sports Nation. Yesterday, I spoke with him about last week's tournament near the Orlando area, a few injuries he's playing through, and BYU's recent games, among many topics. Happy birthday a week ago on Wednesday, by the way. How'd you celebrate your 18th birthday, man?
I was on 3 planes to Orlando.
Just a travel day? Yeah. No cake, cupcake, treat, anything cupcakes. Like that?
I had our school gave us like cupcakes like 2 days before because it was like a week of like 6 of us birthdays.
Well, happy birthday, man. Congratulations. Thanks. That's awesome. Okay, you were in Orlando at the Montverde Invitational. You guys took 4th place there. There was a lot going on in Orlando, by the way. You talked about how BYU beat UCF. There was also the East-West Shrine Game. BYU had 2 guys in that for football. So Orlando was the spot, apparently, this weekend for BYU sports, man.
Yeah.
How'd the tournament go? How'd you feel like you played and your team performed?
I mean, lost 2 games, so we lost in the semifinals, placed 4th. I mean, we did well. We weren't getting blown out or anything like that. We just, a couple of execution plays, lost towards the end.
You were on the all-tournament team, and I noticed some fun plays against CIA Bella Vista. J.J. Mandiquick got a steal, threw it ahead to you. You threw an alley-oop to Xavion Staten off the backboard. He looked happy that you gave him the ball there. What was that play like?
Yeah, like I said, we have to start it early. So, because I don't know how to throw lobs. I said this. I used to catch lobs, so, I'm practicing throwing them. So, anytime I get a chance, I'll throw it.
That's a very unselfish act, right? To learn that. I like that. There was another play that I really liked where you got picked up like 40 feet away, crossed over a guy, got in the lane, euroed, made the basket, smiled at the defender. How much interaction do you like with the other team during a game?
Well, that specific game, the dude was just talking the whole time, saying I suck, just talking a whole bunch of just like, I'm like, bro, like, I'm just... So every time I scored on him, I was just like looking at him just with like a smirk.
There was a good competitive stare down, I think, after that, right? Yeah. In the BYU-Utah game, they were calling text quick. You just have to read the refs in a certain game, right, to know whether they're going to let you do that or not?
Yeah. I mean, they shouldn't. If you get teched for smiling, that's kind of stupid, in my opinion. But, I mean, I've been doing it. I haven't got a tech since I started playing basketball by smiling.
Have you had a tech at all?
Yeah, I've gotten plenty of techs. I used to spike the backboard a lot after dunks.
You would spike the backboard after dunks?
Yeah.
And that, And that did it, like hanging on the rim too long.
Yeah.
Yeah. In a game, are you super serious? Are you having fun? Are there lighthearted moments? How do you kind of handle games emotionally?
I mean, I come into the game serious, but I mean, I try to have fun with it as much as I can. I mean, it's still a high school basketball game, so I'll try to do like fun things, like pick up 94. If the game's getting boring, like pick up 94 feet, try to do fun acts, but it's usually a serious. I mean, I'm trying to play serious. I'm trying to play to win.
What do you enjoy the most when you play basketball in the game?
I mean, I just competing. I'm just a natural competitor. Coming from a family that just like, we just always compete everything we do. So just the act to compete.
When you were little, what were the competitive acts that sort of got you into competition?
Me and my sister used to do dumb things, like first to get in the car, first to get ready. Like just dumb acts.
And you said your dad played soccer?
Yeah, he did.
And did your mom play sports?
No, she didn't.
And your sisters, at least one plays volleyball, you said?
My older one played volleyball and track. My younger sister plays volleyball right now.
Are they kind of as long and as tall in their sport as you? Are they like outside hitters or middle blockers?
Yeah, my little sister is about 5'10", 5'11". And my older sister is like 5'9".
Those are pretty good, depending on the positions. Yeah, that's awesome. Did you ever play volleyball?
No, I'd be really good, though, in my opinion.
Listen, right. When you get to BYU, come watch practice. They got like some 6'6", 6'7", guys on the outside that are pretty talented, which is fun. BYU's got like a top five team. So I think you'd kill it. I think you'd be pretty good, man. It'd be awesome. Okay, back to the Montverde Invitational. In one of those games you played, Calvary Christian and Sean Abeva is a fellow McDonald's All-American Cincinnati signee. What was it like to compete against a guy that you'll see in the Big 12 next year?
I mean, it's good. I mean, that's what you play basketball for, to play guys like that. I mean, I'll play them at the McDonald's game, any other upcoming events, but it'll be fun to just see how we transfer from high school to college.
Have you had a couple years journey with a few of these guys that you're going to see in college, you're seeing now, and you may see in the NBA?
Is that like, how is it?
Yeah, how is it? And do you know a few guys where you're like, we're going to be on this journey together and meet up in the NBA one day?
I mean, when we were younger, there's just like guys that were just, you know, we all came up, like, obviously we weren't as super good as we were when we were younger. But I mean, you can low-key tell like the guys that had the work ethic and stuff like that. So, I mean, like guys like Darren Peterson, Kansas. So he's going to be in the Big 12 next year. Sean's going to be in Cincinnati. Toon Day's going to go to Baylor. So, like, just stuff like that.
So you've kind of circled, like, the Big 12 dudes. You know who they are.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I know where they're committing to. So, I mean, I know where they're going. But, I mean, obviously, we're going to play some scheduled off.
Non-conference.
So, I mean, we'll be playing everybody.
And that's Can't wait, man. I know they haven't been announced. But have there been conversations behind the scenes about potential games that BYU could schedule with you on the team?
The only one I heard is the one that we're playing in Villanova, Vegas.
That one's been reported, yeah.
Yeah, so they have Montverde, Dante Allen. He's a Villanova commit. So I'm going to be playing these guys for the next two years beyond, hopefully.
Might be a decade, might be 20 years. Yeah. Who knows, man? It's awesome. BYU's next game, speaking of Cincinnati, is Cincinnati. Cougars lost Tuesday night to Arizona in a tough one. Had a four-game win streak before that. You talked about how they took their time. They found out what worked and did it. What have you noticed from BYU the last five games that's led to a 4-1 record?
I mean, this is good. I mean, take your time. Win every game. I mean, just try to focus on the game at hand. Don't focus on the ones ahead. I mean, Arizona's a top 20 team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, that's just showing, like, what we need to improve on. So that game film is really going to help them just improve for who we play next Cincinnati.
Every game is going to be fun, but are there certain opponents that you've scheduled of, like, hey, I can't wait to play so-and-so in the Big 12?
Not really. I mean, definitely just watching, like, this year, the games just look fun. But, I mean, like, Utah, like, you have to play Utah, like, as a BYU.
Twice.
You have to play Utah. So, I mean, that'll probably be the biggest – because, like, rivalry games, like, I never really played in a rivalry game, like, besides, like, my old high school. But that's not going to be the same compared to, like, college.
Have you had a sense of what BYU-Utah means to both fan bases living in Utah now?
I don't have the full gist. I know when I get on campus, I'll hear it a lot, though.
You'll see it. You'll see it at the football game especially, which we know is now October 18th. You'll get a real taste of the vitriol and the healthy competitiveness.
Is it our our place?
It's in Provo, baby. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, we yep. should be.
Especially after last year's dramatic 1-point win. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Against Calvary Christian, did I see you maybe temporarily turned your ankle or something, then you got back in the game?
Yeah, so I twisted my ankle first quarter, like 4 minutes in. But, like, the competitive in me, like, I was hurting, but I was like, bro, I can't not play. Like, if I'm able to walk, I got to play.
So just wrap it tight and get back in there, lace it up?
I couldn't accelerate. Like, I was struggling, but I just had to play, try to get my team wins.
Have you had instances like that before where you're like, hey, I got to get back in there? Is that how you operate? You're like, hey, if I can play.
So in New Jersey, I mean, my finger's still kind of like dislocated. But in Jersey, I dislocated my finger. Had 35. And then the next game, it was like a big game, and I dropped 41. So I dropped a dislocated finger.
What? With a relocated finger?
Yeah.
Did it correct maybe the two shots you missed from the night before not to get 41? That's amazing. 35 and then 41. That's awesome, man. How recently was that?
New Jersey. So this was like two tournaments ago, beginning of January, before my birthday.
So just a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Finger and ankle okay at this point?
Ankle, I'll probably practice for the first time today. Finger, I don't know what's going on, but I've been playing. So I don't even think it might just be sprained.
But you feel it, like it hurts?
If I press on it, yeah.
Interesting. By the way, speaking of 35 and 41, where are your hot spots on the court? Where do you feel like, or maybe you know metrically, you shoot the best?
I mean, I think I'm a three-level scorer. So, I mean, obviously dunks and layups are like the easiest, but I think I live in any type of that mid-range area. So, I mean, I don't think I really – I think all the spots are like hot spots. Kind of.
That's the hope, right? Is there a particular area where you're like, oh, I'm like 78% from left elbow or whatever, or like a baseline I prefer or whatever?
I think top of the key threes, I'm actually like very hot.
Top of the key threes. I love it. I can't wait to see you with the NOAA analytics in the annex, where you just walk in, knows your face, you get shots up, you're seeing your percentage live. Like, that kind of stuff's cool, right?
Yeah.
To just see where you're at. I don't dare shoot on that because I don't want to know how bad I am, but that's a different story. Myron Medcalf of ESPN, by the way, wrote an article this week about BYU program, and he mentioned you, and he said the following. I want to see if you agree with this quote. DeBonce is a shooting guard trapped in a power forward's body. Do you agree with that sentence?
I mean, if you want to use it as height and length, I'm probably the size of I'm a power forward, so I mean, I guess it's accurate.
Do you prefer that or like jumbo wing? What do you kind of, how would you describe yourself?
Jumbo wing sounds better. Now, I try to be a combo guard, but I don't know how much of that I'll be playing at the next level. We'll see what KY has in store.
You've talked about kind of your growth spurt and whatnot. Remind the people of like when you grew the most and how much and when.
Quarantine, I grew 5 inches in the summer. From June to August, I grew 5 inches.
June to August, you're telling me in like 2 or 3 months?
Yeah, and then I went back to school.
Was that weird where you were like?
I was hurting, yeah. Knees, everything, ligaments, everything.
That's wild. What did you do to cope with that?
Ice.
Just ice everything now?
Yeah, I didn't have all the gadgets and everything. So I just ice, typical ice.
And you grew from what height to what height?
Like 5. It was like 5'10".
To 6'3"?
Like, yeah. And
wow.
Next year, 6'3", like 6'6", and then I grew like 2.5 inches since.
How tall are your parents?
My dad's like 6'3", and my mom's 5'9".
That'll do it, yeah. Grandparents, aunts, uncles, are there some tall people?
Yeah, my granddad on my dad's side was like 6'4"-ish.
Gotcha.
Uncles on my dad's side are above like 6'2".
That all helps. And then you're the 6'9 guy. Do you think you're going to be taller? You've talked about how maybe you think you might.
I hope I'm growing. I don't know if I will.
Do you want to be like KD, like 7-footer, super long guy?
I think 6'10 will be like my good cap.
One more inch? Are you 6'9 right now?
I'm like 6'8½. So if I can get a half, I'll be good.
Gotcha. Okay, next up, grind session at Atlanta this weekend. What's the goal with this tournament individually and as a team?
I mean, it's the same both ways. Just win 3 games, get back on the right track. I think we're ranked like 12th in the country now. So if we're in 3 games, we'll be right back top 8.
And Xavion's still throwing down more food than you a week later?
Yeah, he actually just went in the calf and just got some tacos. So.
Very nice. Well, best of luck in Atlanta. Hopefully your ankle and your pinky feel okay. And we expect some good stuff this weekend. AJ, thanks for the time, man.
Thank you.
Excited for the future, AJ DiBonta with Jerem. Love that quote. I dislocated my finger and got 35, and I dropped 41 the next day. BYU basketball with Kevin Young. Back tonight, 8:30 Eastern on the BYU TV app. Assistant coach John Linehan, special guest, as the Cougars get ready for Saturday. A rematch at Cincinnati.
After the break, where does BYU men's hoops sit in Big 12 standings through 11 games, plus Big 12 awards for a couple of track and field record breakers, and more headlines on the way. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social media for content throughout the day on all the platforms, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. Some good stuff.
He's Dave. I'm Jerem. Time for BYUSN headlines now.
Men's basketball very much on the bubble for the big dance. ESPN's Joe Lunardi has BYU as one of his last four in his most recent projection released earlier today. Andy Katz also has BYU in his tournament field, currently projected to play in the play-in game.
Big 12 scoreboard looks like this. Cincinnati beat UCF by 10 last night. 20 points from Day-Day Thomas, the backup point guard, snapped a four-game losing streak. TCU beat West Virginia. West Virginia having a hard time right now. 65-60 behind 22 points from Vashon Ollett. West Virginia now lost 4-5. In Utah beats Colorado 72-59 in Salt Lake. Gabe Mattson, game-high 17. BYU tied for 6th in the Big 12 at 6-5, a game back of 4th place. Cougars play at Cincinnati on Saturday. You want to be on that left side, Dave, and BYU is.
Here's the thing about the big dance. It's next month.
Wild.
Yeah. BYU women's basketball beat UCF 73-66 at the Marriott Center last night. Second straight win. 39 combined points from the freshmen, Delaney Gibb, Brindley Cannon, and Cambry Barber with the win. BYU now 3-8 in the Big 12. Off to Waco to take on Baylor on Saturday.
Softball opens up in season today. Let's go against UC San Diego. First of 5 games at the La Jolla Invitational in California. BYU will play its first 24 games of the season on the road. This is how they operate. You can watch tonight's game at 9 Eastern on ESPN+.
Spring is here. They're softball, baseball. It's awesome. Megan Hunter, Riley Chamberlain were named co-Big 12 Women's Track and Field Athletes of the Week after setting school records in Boston. Man, they had a great weekend. Hunter ran school record and NCAA best 2 minutes, 0.21 in the 800 meters, and Chamberlain went 426.19 in the mile, setting a new BYU record, registering the third best time in the NCAA this season. They're up to number 6 in the rankings.
They'll be on the program tomorrow. And by the way, I think that Riley could run a mile, could run 2 miles before you and I run one.
You are correct.
No, literally. I think she could run two before we would run one. Men's tennis picked up a 6-1 win against Binghamton, Tony Kornheiser's old stomping grounds, in New York, and are back in action today against Wagner, where Quincy Lewis went to school.
Yeah, the world gets smaller and smaller. Men's golf jumped 15 spots. They're now number 21 in the NCAA Division I scoreboard national rankings. They shot 50 under par to win the Arizona NIT earlier in the week. That's a good team.
That's always the goal of the scramble in the summer.
Yeah, 50 under.
Is to go 50 under.
That should win you a shirt.
And then I realized, well, if I'm involved here, it's not going to happen. And former All-American volleyball player at BYU, Mike Wall, is named to the Team USA women's volleyball staff as an assistant coach after 12 years with the USA men. That's pretty cool for Mike. He stays in USA volleyball.
Great.
Up next, BYU baseball coach Trent Pratt, pitcher Stone Cushing, preview the season and talk about some new renovations at Miller Park. We'll tell you what they are after the break. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation live in Studio B. It is baseball season, baby. Coming up next week, BYU gets the season going and to introduce the Cougars of 2025. We'll talk to head coach Trent Pratt and closer Stone Cushing. Great to have you guys in the studio.
Thanks for having us.
I can't believe it's time, but it always jumps up on us in early February, and here we go. Trent, how are you feeling about this season's team?
Good. I know practice has been great. Good group of guys, some experience back, and Man, this group loves each other. You can tell when they come to practice every day. They like being around each other. We love being around them. And so, man, that's usually a good sign. And we're just kind of ready to play some with another jersey on. You've sick of seeing each other.
You feeling the love too, Stone?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's hard not to when you're around the guys every day like that.
Look, the last couple of days, it's felt like baseball season around here. You've been outside, but
right?
60 degrees.
50s, oh, nice. 60s?
We pray for those days in early March.
Yes, we do. We pray
for those days in April.
They will go away.
Yeah. We think of a 52-game journey, and we'll start at a Valentine's Day next week down in Fresno. That means that your arm's got to last a long time. How's the offseason been to get ready?
It's been good. Since we've gotten back, we've been working really hard. I mean, it feels like I'm working a full job. I get here in the morning, don't leave till 5, and so it's been good. I mean, we've been killing it in the weight room, killing it on the field, working on a lot of things that just getting us mentally prepared for the season.
Let's talk about some exciting news with Miller Park, Trent. There's going to be some new renovations, some additions. What can you tell us? It's being announced right now.
Man, it's awesome. Thankful to our administration and the donors that made it happen. Down our left field line, they're expanding the stadium and putting 4 batting tunnels underneath that. Man, it'll be a huge addition to our field and for our players as far as development and recruiting. It's been needed, and man, it's cool to see it getting built. A big hole in the ground right now, but those renderings make it look really sweet.
So when will this be ready?
I think they say like this summer. So be
after
ready,
the season,
be ready
for
us
year.
To like start working on next fall.
And then you're gonna put seats along the top, right? And
yeah.
Expand that out.
I think they're expanding that and the kind of those VIP tickets. Have a place to host them down there, and so no, we're excited about it and. Our players are excited to see the construction every day and something new, and we're just kind of ready for it to happen.
Oh, yeah, I was over there yesterday. They're not messing around.
No, they're out there working hard every day. Yeah.
I think they want to get it done by opening day.
That'd be fine with us.
What does that mean as a player, Stone, to have the facility upgraded like that?
I mean, it's huge. It's huge for, as he said, recruiting. I mean, when guys come to our field, they want to see what we have to offer, and if we have more, I mean, that's just a better chance we have of landing some of the higher caliber players across the country. So it's huge for them, it's huge for us, just having an area that we can just have right next to us where we can go. I mean, we can pitch in there, we can throw it, we can hit in there. I mean, it's huge. It's huge having just more space to do our thing.
I know your teammates call you Kush because you're kind of laid back until you get the ball in your hands, and you're gonna have the ball in his hands a lot. How do you plan on using this guy? I led the Big 12 in saves last year, but I know that you kind of want to move him around a little bit.
We just want to use them in any high leverage situation we can. There were some series last year where maybe there wasn't a save opportunity, so he didn't throw our way through one inning on the weekend, and we want to make sure that we use him any time we get. So it could be the 7th, hey, we need a big strikeout with the right-hander coming up. Man, Stone, you can give Stone the ball and let him go get a couple outs for us and bridge it till the 9th. And we feel like we have some guys that can come in and get in the 9th, or obviously if there's a chance for a save opportunity, he's done it and he's good at it. So we'll use him in there and get that slider going like it is right here.
Stone, when you watch these highlights of yourself, do you think, man, I'm pretty good? Look at those strikes.
I get a little adrenaline.
Those guys can't touch me.
I get a little adrenaline watching
that. You should feel pretty good watching that, for sure.
Fired up, yelling into the mic.
I yelled there.
Good.
Luckily, no mic was on.
There we go.
How do you stay ready? Because as a reliever in high leverage situations, as Trent mentioned, you've got to deliver. So how do you kind of keep the heartbeat at a certain pace, yet get fired up and use that to your advantage?
Well, it's all about being able to kind of flip on that switch. And especially for me last year, where I didn't have to flip it on until maybe the 8th inning some games, you just kind of got to find a way to stay locked in the whole game. If you find yourself sitting around chatting for 8 innings, you're not going to be ready to throw in the 9th. So it's about being able to flip on that switch and just turn on that mentality like on a dime like that. And so, I mean, you just got to have something little in the bullpen or on your way to the bullpen that just helps you kind of get yourself fired up. And I feel like I've had a pretty easy time of getting myself fired up pretty quick. So
yeah. I see that at 9:59 in the morning with Dave.
Yeah.
We just showed this, right. The switch goes on.
You have to flip the switch.
Like, why is your right eye blinking so much? Yeah.
So everyone loves strikeouts. They love home runs. You got Easton Jones back at third base, big time home run hitter. And he's ready to go. I saw him yesterday. Looks like he's gearing up.
It looks good. He's made a bunch of improvements. He's worked hard. That's the thing about Easton is he's there early, stays late, and he wants to be good. He's driven to be good. And the cool thing about him is he's the same all the time, whether he's playing good or bad. I mean, you look in the dugout, if he's having a bad day, you wouldn't know he's on the top step, picking his teammates up. He's having a good day, he's the same. And, man, we expect big things out of Easton this year and kind of build off what he did last year.
He can go to both fields, but he's got that swing, that home run swing that drives that ball over to the Marriott Center a couple times last year.
That bus has got to watch out next time. It almost hit it. What's better about this team this year?
I think we're a year older. We were really young last year, inexperienced, and I mean, I'd be tough to find a team younger than us last year playing a bunch of freshmen and sophomores.
Right.
So I think just guys knowing what to expect, they've been around each other for a year, and man, they generally like each other. You can see when they come to the field, they generally like being at the field and like being around each other. So I think the thing is just experience, and they know what to expect this year. And I think that's a big thing, just, you know, being older and knowing what to expect is, you know, it will help us win some more games.
How does that translate into how you're going to pitch?
I mean, like he said, we have a lot of guys around us who maybe didn't know what to expect going into the Big 12 last year, who kind of got smacked in the face right off the bat, and it was hard to bounce back from that. This year, I feel like every player on our team knows exactly what they're doing right now. They know their role. They know how to get outs. They know how to pitch in the Big 12. They know how to pitch in big situations. They know how to hit in big situations, and that's going to help us a lot this year. Kind of just stepping up to the plate and not feeling like the lesser guy and feeling like we have what it takes to take it to some of these bigger schools.
Yeah.
Talking to Stone Cushing, closer for BYU baseball, head coach Trent Pratt. Do you look at football for inspiration? They're picked 13th. They have a heck of a season to where it's like, hey, we can do this. We can be one of the top teams in the league.
100%. I remember talking to Kalani at a coach's meeting. He goes, the big thing, like, our guys love each other. They believe they can win. I think that, you know, is a big thing. You can see other teams have been doing it. So obviously our kids can look at that and say, like, man, why not us? Like, we can do the same type of thing. And man, it was awesome to watch that season and cheer them on and see how good they did. And now we can keep building off that.
And I love seeing other athletes at other games.
Yeah.
So the football team, they'll show up to your games and you guys are there. Like, I love that crossover. We're going to see that this year.
Yeah.
Awesome.
One of the greatest golfers in the history of this place and in the world has a grandson who's one of your pitchers, who's the only freshman on the pitching staff, but good enough where we're going to see him this year. And we're talking about 6'3", Owen Miller. What do you project for this guy?
Man, he throws strikes, and that's a big thing. If you're on our staff and you can throw strikes, you're going to have a chance to pitch. And Owen, he's pretty even-keeled. Man, he fastball, and he's got a really good changeup. And so he pounds the strike zone, so he's got a chance to lock some innings for us.
Is everybody even-keeled, or do you have a crazy guy in the pen or among the staff?
You're the crazy guy.
Are you the crazy
guy? Guy next to us right here.
You're the crazy guy? You need one Mitch
this
Williams
is crazy
the
right here.
That's right. Not yet. Yeah. Give me 8 days.
No, it's good to have. You need both guys. We need someone that can fire people up. And in Stone's role, like, he's going to come with some emotion, which he needs, which is good. And he's done a good job of controlling it. And, man, he's going to be awesome this year.
Well, we can't wait for the start of the season. I know Dave will be calling some of the games on BYU Radio to start the year, which will be awesome. And we can't wait for you to be Road Warriors and then come back and play in Provo coming up in a bit. So best of luck next week when the season begins. Thanks for coming in studio, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Great to have
you
here.
Stone Cushing.
Valentine's Day, that's when it's a great time. It's a time for love and time for baseball.
That's what
and
they always say.
The two come together.
I can't remember anyone saying that until right now, but I'm in favor.
Here it is, Cougars and Bulldogs. Can you believe you're seeing this, Stone? This is how close the season is. February 14th, 9 o'clock Eastern time, live on BYU Radio from Fresno. The first of 52, and we're underway.
After the break, today's Rise and Shoutout and Elite Voice of the Day. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Today is this. After seeing BYU football schedule, how many wins are you expecting this season? At BYU underscore goated on Instagram. Nice. 11-1.
All right.
I feel like we will lose to Iowa State and then we will win all the other games.
Okay.
Hey, I'd take it right now. If you said, who wouldn't?
Yeah, but I would take that one.
But at Iowa State, it feels like that's a sort of scheduled really tough game that you likely lose. I hope the team takes the motivation from that and goes,
why not?
You guys.
Let's go for it.
Let's go. Our Elite Voice of the Day is presented by PAX, Healthcare Elevated, at True Blue, BYU 1984. Now that's a blue goggled handle.
In.
I like that. I'd say 9-3, hoping for 10-2 and a shot at the Big 12 title.
Right.
That's the main goal of this team, it would feel like, is, hey, let's get to the Big 12 title game, whatever that looks like.
9-3, a couple of conference losses, it has you in the mix to get to the championship.
And then there's the wonderful tiebreakers that none of us understand.
Yeah, let's hope we figure those things out.
There's too many teams in the league, unfortunately. Today's Rise and Shoutout is presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Congratulations, assistant coaches Will Voigt and Chris Burgess, on being selected to the Elite 75 Future Head Coach Power Lunch.
We don't have any clarification on what exactly that means.
It sounds like a great lunch to be
They fly in, go to this lunch, come home. I'm not exactly sure.
Someone shouts, you're the man.
Or you're a man. Is it a certain diet they have to consume at some point? I have no idea.
I don't know, but only 75 got on there. And there's two.
Right? Right? Yeah. Exactly. Can't wait. Can't wait for that. Our thanks to today's guests, A.J. DeBonta, Trent Pratt, and Stone Cushing. Sorry to Dennis Pitta, who, by the way, was at Super Bowl Radio Row. Jackson Payne tweeting, BYU well-represented here at Radio Row. Dennis Pitta in the house. I'm glad they made time for him, although I have a question. Why is he holding a shoe?
There's always time for Dennis. Come on. Our conversation continues on our social media platforms and on BYUSN.com.
For Dave, I'm Jeremy. Shout out to Stetson Banks. Go Cougs! And good luck to Sopo on the season opener.